I'm going to read several things to you today with the Lord's help. Please pray for me and for the ministry of God's Word. Before we read the passage of Scripture, I want to read this to you. Not a mistake. Not a mistake. Not a problem. Not a burden. Not an inconvenience. Not a nuisance. Not an accident. Not a punishment, I'm a miracle. That's a baby. Not a mistake, not a problem, not a burden, not an inconvenience, not a nuisance, not a punishment, not an accident, but a miracle of God. A baby. Job 31, 13 through 22. Job 31, 13 through 22. It's just before the book of Psalms, so go to the middle of your Bible and turn left one book. Job 31, 13, 22. My opinion of what a child is and means is of very little value. But what the God of heaven and of earth, who has made this earth and all things that are in it, what he says they are is what they are. And this is what he says. Job says, if I did despise the cause of my manservant or of my maidservant, that means if I wouldn't fare with those that work for me, when they contended with me, what then shall I do when God riseth up and when he visiteth? What shall I answer him? Did not he that made me in the womb make him? And did not one fashion us in the womb? And then he goes on to say, if I've withheld from the poor, from their desire, or if I've caused the eyes of the widow to fail, if I didn't treat the poor right, if I didn't treat the widow right, if I've eaten my morsel myself alone, or if the fatherless have not eaten, in other words, if orphans are going without while I fill my belly, from my youth he was brought up with me as with the father, and I've guided her from my mother's womb. If I have seen any perish for want of clothing, or any poor without covering, if I have not regarded the suffering of my fellow human beings, if his loins have not blessed me, and if he were not warmed with the fleece of my sheep, that is, if I haven't covered the poor, if I've lifted up my hand against the fatherless when I saw my help in the gate, if I've mistreated those who had no one to help them, then let mine arm fall from my shoulder blade and my arm be broken from my bone. What does it matter how we treat our fellow human beings in this world? What is the difference between, I'm asking you, if God has not made us, if God has not created us uniquely as human beings, I want you to think about this. If God has not uniquely created us and made us different than any other portion of his creation, if we're not his crowning achievement of his creative work, if we are not doing, as he said, bearing his image in Genesis chapter 1, if we are not supremely and sublimely different as human beings made in the image of God, which God has created from the womb, according to Job 31, then let me say this. If we're no different than cows and sheep, if we're no different than the Thompson's gazelle, which is cavorting across the savannas of Africa, if we're no different than my beagle at home, then we have no right to be appalled whenever terrorists drive their airplanes into the Twin Towers and murder 5,000 people. Because it's no more, if we're no different than the rest of creation, then they've done no more than kick over an anthill. Do you understand that? But we are different. We are different by creation. We're different than ants. We are. We're God's supreme creation. And he starts, according to Job, in the womb. I want you to turn over to Psalm 139. Psalm 139. I am interested in what happens in the womb of the mothers of the United States of America because God's word speaks to it. And as a minister of the gospel, it's not that I have a right. I've got the responsibility to speak to it. And any man that's not willing, any minister that's not willing to wage the battle where the war is being fought, he needs to go home today and turn his credentials in. Amen. Whether that's the God-given right of nations to protect themselves, that's biblical. Or whether it's the God-given right of our infants to be protected in their mother's womb, that's biblical. Psalm 139, David says this in verse 13. For thou hast possessed my reins. Thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. Your soul should know that that child in a womb is a part of God's special creation. Your soul feels that. He said, my substance was not hid from thee. He's speaking of his being formed in his mother's womb. My substance was not hid from thee. God, you saw me when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lower parts of the earth. What does he mean, the lower parts of the earth? He's talking about the womb of his mother. She's an earthen vessel. And in the lower parts of her earthen vessel, David said, God, you have formed me. I am your special creation. Thine eyes did see my substance. I like to call babies that are going to be born by their names, not it or him or her. We need to make a habit of, if mom and dad names that precious little one before they're born, we need to say, Jace. How's Jace doing? Not how is it doing? God sees them in the womb. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect, and in thy book all my members were written. I'm very thankful to know that. He's talking about, in your book, all of the parts of my body were written. You saw me perfect. It doesn't matter that the abortion physician may rip their body apart. God sees them perfectly. All thy members were written in thy book. When in continuance they were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. So the great promise of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, though the abortion doctor destroy them in the womb, God will make them again in the resurrection. No wonder David closes by saying, how precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God, how great is the sum of them. Before I say anything else, I want to say this. My heart goes out to young women who have had abortions. My heart breaks for them. This message is not so much about them today. This message is about the evil, wicked leadership in this nation that is promoting an industry that is perpetuating corporate profits into the billions of dollars. and in a dark, dark selling of death, young ladies are selling peace of mind and heart for the rest of their life. And my heart breaks for them. I've counseled with them, and I feel for them. So I want to get that out right away. So why, as the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ, are we concerned? The last message I had here was about God's covenant relationship with his people, and that God calls his covenant people to be a kingdom of priests. Priests are to be interceders. Priests are to mediate matters between one party and another party. That's what priests did in the Old Testament. They mediated matters between an Israelite and between God. In our nation, in the United States of America, if you're a born-again child of God, you're a believer priest, and you're to be interceding on behalf of issues that are relevant in our nation. You're to be praying. You're to be working on these matters as a born-again child of God. We are called to it as believer priest. Satan has sold us a bill of goods in that area. One of the things that's happened to us, and one of the reasons that we're not impacted by these things, is Satan has sold us this bill of goods. Listen to me very carefully, if you will, for just a few moments. Something that was blasted apart in the Reformation has taken place again. Something that Martin Luther blasted apart in the Reformation has found its way back into Christianity again, and it is this. Prior to Martin Luther, there was this pervasive kind of thinking that that holy people needed to stay with holy things, and the only really religious holy people were priests, monks, and nuns. And that there was no place really in real spiritual matters, priesthood matters, for if you were a craftsman, if you were a welder, if you were a ditch digger, if you were a school teacher, then those matters didn't belong to you. Religious matters didn't belong to you. And Martin Luther came along and he said this. He said the milkmaid, Martin Luther said the milkmaid that performs her work, if she does it to God, it's religious service to God. So here's what we have lost. Every part of our life is religious service to God. Do you understand that? The kind of dad you are is not removed from your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ as a disciple. The kind of mother that you are is not removed from your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ as a disciple. The kind of employee you are is an expression of your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Now listen to me very carefully, and then we're going to get flying. The kind of citizen you are, how you function, what you speak to as a citizen is a function of your discipleship and your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Being a citizen is not divorced from your discipleship. It's an expression of your discipleship. The kind of citizen you are in your community, in your nation, is to be an expression of who you are. I'm going to speak to you as born-again citizens of the United States of America. There can be no compromise. There can be no compromise anymore in this matter. We have compromised away the morality of this nation. We have. We have given one line after the other line, after the other line, after the other line, and we have compromised it away as God's people. We haven't been the kind of light. We haven't been light and salt as we should have, or we would not be in this position. One person can make a difference. One person can make a difference. Satan has put us to sleep with the sedative of what can I do? What difference can I make? I'll give you a couple of examples before we get through today. But you got to believe as we begin here that one person can make a difference. If not, go home, close your door, and don't come out again. One person can make a difference. But we have compromised away the morality of this nation. The murder of our babies is a moral issue. We must speak out. We must speak out. Let me ask you this. If down at the Baker County Sheriff's Office, you knew that this evening that the prisoners, I'm not even prisoners, people that have been charged with a crime who haven't been tried, it hasn't gone to court, they've just been charged. Now they're charged. That doesn't mean they're guilty or they're innocent, right? That hadn't been proven. They're just charged. What if we knew that down at the Baker County Sheriff's Office this afternoon that the people who'd been charged with crimes, they were going to be lined up and summarily executed. They were all going to be shot this evening. Would you be outraged about that? I'm asking you, would you? Would you call your senator? Would you write to your representative? If you knew that people who had only been charged with crimes were going to be shot to death, would you line up? Would you do something? Over 58 million babies whose only crime was they were conceived have been killed in America. And I'm asking you, what have you done? How many senators have you written? How many of your representatives have you called to let them know where you stand on this matter and where you expect them to stand on this matter? One person can make a difference. They're not shooting criminals. They're shooting innocent children. One person said that, listen to this, a person said, one murder is an outrage. 58 million is a statistic. You get that? We hear of one murder. And I hear people talking about it all the time. Did you hear about that person that was murdered in North Jacksonville last night? It's just terrible. What's going on over there? Very few people ever speak to me about the 58 million. 58 million just becomes a statistic. It's so large, we can't get our arms around it. Say, well, listen, preacher, now, every time I speak along these lines, somebody gets offended. And I hear from it. And they say, preacher, that's politics. Politics has no place in the pulpit. That's how Satan has silenced God's people as disciples. I'm telling you here that the things that our nation involves itself in, that the biblical principle is often involved. And as citizens, we should speak out. Six times in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus says, you've heard it said by those of old, but I say unto you. You know what he's doing? Six times Jesus said, you've heard it said. And let me say, you say something over and over and over again, and people begin to believe it. That's what had happened in Jesus' day. You've heard it said. You've heard it said. You've heard it said. You've heard it said until you begin to believe it. You've heard it said that Delilah cut Samson's hair. Did Delilah cut Samson's hair? You've heard it said. How many of you right now believe that Delilah cut Samson's hair? You do, don't you? Delilah didn't cut Samson's hair. Who did? Go home and find out. She didn't. You've heard it said that Noah's Ark landed on Mount Ararat. You've heard that said, hadn't you? You believe that? It didn't. It's not what the Bible said. But we believe that Noah's Ark landed on Mount Ararat, that Delilah cut Sam. You say something over and over and over again, and Jesus would not mamby-pamby to the accepted falsehoods of his day. He stepped up and said, "You've heard it said, but I say to you." Yeah. We've heard it said over and over and over and over again that the woman has the final rights over her body. But I say to you, God has the final rights over all of our bodies. Amen. Over my body, over your body. God, the creator of them, the maker and the sustainer of them, has the final say over what goes on in our bodies. Amen. The Word of God gives us plenty of proof. Let me just stop and say this. What is being discussed now? What is being discussed now? The governor of Virginia recently said, it's just unthinkable. I can't believe that I could say this truthfully from our pulpit. The governor of Virginia said this, that in some cases that we ought to let the infant be born. And let him be kept alive and comfortable while the doctor, no longer doctors, now just doctor under his model, while the single doctor and the parent discusses what should happen with the child. He's talking about whether the child should die or not. That's called infanticide. That may be too tough for your ears. Unbelievable. What they're talking about now is not partial, it's past partial birth abortion, which is horrible. It's past partial birth abortion, it's infanticide. It's killing our babies once they're born. It's well documented. His comments, of course, came on the heels of the comments by the legislator Tran, who said that abortion should be on demand when agreed to by one doctor, when there are possible complications for the mother up to birth. The possible complications for the mother could be emotional or mental distress. Do you understand that? So the mother is about to give birth, contracting, but she hasn't given birth yet, and she decides that John Anthony Crawford is going to be just an undue burden on her, and she can't take the stress of a baby. Kill him. They're trying to legislate that. There's a push for that. Late term, there's a great number of states now, as you know, Governor Cuomo in New York has signed off on late term abortions. Listen, we're talking about children with heartbeats, with brain waves that can feel, that will attempt to fight off in the womb the needle of the abortionist. They can taste, for heaven's sakes. I want to read to you, and I want to encourage everyone. Please, I want to encourage everyone. One of the reasons that Adolf Hitler and that Lenin, we only talk about Adolf Hitler, but one of the reasons that Lenin and the Bolsheviks, who killed as many people as Hitler did, you never hear about that for a variety of reasons. One of the reasons that the communist and the Bolshevik revolution and their revolution led to more deaths than Hitler actively killed. One of the reasons Lenin was allowed to come to power, one of the reasons that Hitler was allowed to come to power, is because good folks like us sat by and did nothing. and they perpetrated heinous and horrible acts. And so I want to ask you all. I'll send this information out in an email to the church. If you don't have your email in the church list server, please see Brother Darrell. I want to ask you if you would please read this book this coming year. It'll help give you a little courage. It has me. The name of the book, I'll send it out. You won't be able to spell his name. It's called Bonhoeffer. It's an autobiography about Dietrich Bonhoeffer. I want to ask everyone from high school age, sorry, Emma, from high school age up to read Eric Metaxas. It's a certain biography, Eric Metaxas biography of Dietrich Bonhoeffer. And the reason I want you to read that is his life is the clearest, fullest expression of what a born-again citizen's life should look like when the nation that we live in is trying to perpetrate the kind of horrors that our nation is trying to perpetrate. We've killed more babies than Hitler ever killed Jews. There were many ministers that were silent in Germany. There were many ministers that were silent in Germany. And let me say, I believe with everything in me that in 20 years, a copy of this message will get me in great trouble with the government unless things turn around. I do. I believe that my message today in America, God shed his grace on thee, will within 20 years, unless things turn around, be seen as hate speech. And there were men who were intimidated and afraid of the government in Germany when horrible acts were being perpetrated and ministers told their churches, as churches, we're not in this. It's politics. Stay out of it. And that's how a monster like Lenin, the Orthodox priest in Russia, said the same thing when Lenin came to power. And the Church of Germany said the same thing, and her ministers. And Martin Niemöller was one of them. And he spoke to Dietrich Bonhoeffer, and he told him, son, you're a young man with great promise. You need to be quiet and let it play out on the political stage. Martin Niemöller was quiet on the matter. And after World War II was over, Martin Niemöller penned these words. Listen to me very carefully. Martin Niemöller, speaking of what took place in Germany while he was quiet, he said, first, they came for the socialist, and I did not speak out because I was not a socialist. Then they came for the trade unionist, speaking of the Nazis, and I did not speak out because I was not a trade unionist. And then they came for the Jews, and I did not speak out because I was not a Jew. And then they came for me, and there was no one left to speak out for me. And so we have not spoken out as we should for our unborn. And I'm telling you, next is going to be our elderly. It will be. Next will be our elderly. They're of little value to the state. They're of little value to the society. Their value is gone. Well, they did not visit Sister Sadie Rowe when she was laying on her bed. And she could not produce work. She couldn't produce goods. But they didn't go to Sister Sadie Rowe's bed when she was in the hospital for 2 months and go and hear her sweet testimony. And when things get too tough for me in my life, I think about going to Sadie Rowe's bed at 85 years of age, and her back eaten up with bed sores, and her saying, you know, Brother David, I love that song. The Lord has been so good to me. I want to sing his praise. Or, Brother David, could you please sing God Is Not Promised, Skies Always Blue, Flowers Strewn Pathways All Our Lives Through, But God Has Promised. I learned about how to make it through the brokenness of this world through an 85-year-old sister, eat up with bed sores. I learned more from her about how to make it through suffering than I have anybody else in my life. Now, to this present culture, she would be an unproductive citizen that we should remove the resources of our society from because she's not productive. She was probably more productive than anybody I spoke to that year. All life is sacred with God. He's the maker of it. He's the giver of it. And let me say this. This is so important. Whether you think that that life should be here in infancy, or whether you think that that life should be here in old age, the fact that it's here means that God has a purpose for it. He's a purpose-working God. And He brings His children into this world to work His purposes. You may never know it, but He knows what it is, and that's good enough. God's a purpose-working God. January the 2nd, Governor Andrew Cuomo signed a law legalizing abortion for the entire 40 weeks of a woman's pregnancy. That is murder, friends. The good news, in the state of Florida, Florida is working on a bill in our legislative session to push abortion back as far as they can. You need, and I'm going to send out the addresses of your representatives, your legislators. You write them a letter. You write them by hand. Letters from citizens are very powerful things. Handwritten letters from citizens are very powerful things. They want to hear from citizens. Very powerful. I can't tell how powerful. That's the truth. Brother Darrell, Brother Tim, you all have lobbied with them. It's one thing to hear from professionals, but when citizens write in, it makes a difference, doesn't it? You can do that. You can give voice to this. Let them thank them for their stand in Florida and ask them to continue to stand. And on Monday night, as Democrats in the U.S. Senate blocked a unanimous consent bill that would have protected newborn babies from the terrible fate of New York's 40-week abortion law. While that was going on, I heard a young lady say she was an abortion survivor. I listened to the testimony of babies that survived abortion. How about that? You think God's a purpose-working God? The abortion scalpel couldn't kill these beautiful people. And this abortion survivor who made it through the horrors of abortion was left alive, much to the chagrin of the doctor. This abortion, as they're talking, discussing infanticide, killing babies once they're born, immediately after birth, she said this. She said, as babies, we had to fight for our lives in the womb of our mothers. Speaking of those abortion survivors, she said, should we have to fight for our lives outside of the womb as well? It's just too terrible to even think about. They have a heartbeat. They have brain waves. They can feel. They can taste. It's murder. Let me say, after today, you may choose to look the other way, but you can never tell God you did not know. I'll go home today, my heart still heavy and still weary. David said, when the wicked rule, the people mourn, and my heart grieves as I see the wickedness that is ruling in our nation today. But I'll have peace in this, that people that I love, I've told the truth to. I want to read to you two accounts, and then I'm done. Two accounts. And it's lengthy, so let me see. I'll just read one. This is a good one. This is a young lady whose last name is Sudlow, Amy Sudlow. And her child was diagnosed with a fatal fetal anomaly. That is, she's diagnosed with a birth that the doctors say, if she doesn't die in your womb, she's going to die not long after she's born. So that's the circumstance. Amy Sudlow said doctors immediately assumed that she wanted an abortion after Evelyn, that is her baby, was diagnosed with fatal fetal anomaly. They even scheduled an abortion without asking her. But Sudlow and her husband refused. They knew that their daughter's life was too precious to end. And this is what Sudlow said. She is our greatest, greatest, greatest joy. She's brought so much love and life to our family. The only tragedy for us would have been to have never met Evelyn. She brought so much to our life. Then trouble began at Sudlow's 20-week ultrasound. After the initial scan detected problems, she said they were sent to a doctor for more testing at 20 weeks. The doctor's attitude was not what they expected. He said, basically, this is a quote, basically everything is wrong with this child. She has cysts on her brain. She's 4 weeks behind on her growth. She has in uterine growth restriction, a hypoplastic left ventricle, a single ventricle heart. She's missing half of her heart. She has a cleft palate, clenched fist, and oh, by the way, two club feet. And, by the way, it's a girl. The test initially indicated that Evelyn had Down syndrome, but further testing revealed she actually had something called trisomy 18. Though some children with trisomy live for years, most die in the womb or shortly after birth. When the doctor from the maternal fetal health called to tell Sudlow of the error, he told her about trisomy 18, not Down syndrome. He said it's considered incompatible with life, and that he had spoken with a doctor at her OBGYN, and the doctor had informed them that Sudlow would be terminating the pregnancy, and there he already had a scheduled abortion appointment. Sudlow was shocked and said she didn't want an abortion. The doctor didn't agree. He said, "You can't keep her. I don't think you know how serious this is." She was upset. She called the doctor who had scheduled the abortion, a doctor she had never met, and told him she wasn't doing it. And as she sobbed on the phone, he told her to save her energy for the child. She was going to need it if she kept it. The child he had scheduled an abortion for without consent. After she refused the abortion again, the office that she had been going to for her entire pregnancy refused to provide her prenatal care. The Hippocratic Oath says the doctor's pledge to do no harm. The driving force, she said, listen to what she says. The driving force behind my pregnancy was that I did not start Evelyn's heartbeat, and I did not have the authority to decide when it should be stopped. She was always safest inside my womb, and I had to protect her. Eventually, the family found a new doctor. They said a series of ultrasound scans over the next few months showed some signs of improvement. Today, Evelyn is a big sister. Her doctors say that her heart is stable and she's thriving. Though they're not sure how long she will live, her mommy and daddy say that every day with her is a gift. Her mother says, "Only God is the holder of time, and that is freedom to me. It frees me up to be Evelyn's mom and to enjoy her like I would any other child. I pray for wisdom with her health and God to open doors when something needs to be done. But knowing her life, here it is, has its own purpose, takes that weight off of my shoulders. That family said they hope Evelyn's story will inspire others to choose life. There is a place on the internet that you can get daily news feeds from. It's called lifenews.com. I want you to subscribe that. Take their information. Lifenews.com. They'll keep you current with what's going on in the battle that we are involved in as God's people. Life News, that's one thing you can do. You can stay current and abreast. Don't go home and take the sedative that Satan will give you. I'm just one against many. I can't make a difference. Don't let him put you to sleep in this. For the children's sake, don't let him put you to sleep in this. Your efforts may save some children. Lifenews.com. I want you to write your state and federal representatives. Encourage them, those that are supporting life, the sanctity of life as given by God. And friends, and I get smacked for this every time I say it, but I'm going to say it again without hesitation. I'm going to tell you who I voted for in the last election. I voted for Donald Trump. Amen. And the reason I voted there, and let me say this, there are many things that Donald Trump has done and does do that I find very offensive as a minister of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. They offend me greatly, and if I ever had 5 minutes alone with him, I'd ask him, what in the world were you thinking? But he gets time alone with somebody more important than David Crawford, and that's God. I voted for Donald Trump. And the reason I voted for Donald Trump, and I'm going to tell you, given what is going on, this is the most important issue in our nation's history. I'm asking you, as your pastor, to be a single-issue voter. You identify politicians, representatives who are willing to support life, who are willing to stand for stopping the murder of our babies. And Donald Trump was willing to stand for life, even recently, calling them the holy creation of God. He may be messed up on a lot of other things, but he's got that right. They are God's creation. They, moms and dads, they do not ultimately belong to you. God is the giver of life. And he should be the remover of it. Last thing. One person can't make a difference. I believe that in days past. And God gave me an experience, and I've shared this previously. I'm going to share it so I can share it very, very quickly. I was with Brother Jim Latimer traveling on a preaching trip out in the state of California. We were traveling all around the state, spoken about 8 different churches on that trip in California. And we went through Los Angeles. And it was my choosing. We didn't have a church meeting there, but we went out of our way to go through Los Angeles. I wanted to be able to say I'd gone through Los Angeles. Once we got in there, I was so sorry. I was. The land of fruits and nuts. I'm telling you, it is. They grow them everywhere out there. Almond trees, strawberries, they have them everywhere. So we went into a Burger King in Los Angeles. And Brother Jim was following out behind me, wasn't out yet, stepped in the restroom. I walked outside, and I walked over the newspaper rack that, you remember those? They used to, children, there used to be something called newspaper racks. You'd walk up and put a quarter in them, you'd get a newspaper. Do you know what a newspaper is? So there it was, the newspaper rack. And I'm going to say this as carefully as I can. There were two men, it was a pornographic magazine. There were two men engaged in a horrible activity in a picture right there. And without any accountability, a child could have went up to that newspaper rack and put 4 quarters in, and without any accountability, gotten that filthy, mind-twisting material. It was 4 hours to where I was speaking in Napa Valley that evening, or five or six or whatever. It was a long way. Brother Jim got in the car, and I said, I'm so sorry that you have to ride with me for the next 5 or 6 hours. I'm as angry as I've ever been in my life, and you're going to have to hear about it. I said, I don't want to burden the hearts of those people with what I've seen. But I got there, and I couldn't help it. There was a gymnasium full of folks there, in a public school gymnasium, and the service was set up, and I was to speak that night, and I spoke, and I said, listen, this is not what I came to speak about, but I've got to get it off of my shoulder. I'm not going to be able to speak unless I tell you what happened to us today. And I explained. And about 6 months later, I received a letter from a congressman in the state of California. His name was Rodriguez, and he said, Dear Pastor Crawford, I'm writing to thank you for believing that one person can make a difference. I want to inform you about a recent law that was enacted that I had the privilege of sponsoring, because there was an old retired teacher seated in the back of that gymnasium who the next month went to the local PTA meeting of her school district and stood up in defiance of what was going on. Pornography available without any accountability on the streets of California. And the PTA brought it to their legislative lobbyist, who brought it to my attention. And I was thankful to have the privilege for sponsoring legislation. And I wanted to inform you that as of today, every one of those dastardly machines have been taken off of the streets of California. Pray for me that God would bless me to continue to work for the peace and the safety of the families of the state of California. You may be the person that God uses. It could be you. It could be your child. It could be your grandchild. But not to speak is to speak. Please speak. Speak for the precious lives of our children. Jesus cares. Jesus cares about them. How do you know? He could have been born into this world full-born. He could have come in this world full-born, just appeared, bam. He chose to come through the womb because he cares for children in the womb. He was going to represent babies in the womb who didn't make it out, and he has. And I'm thankful to report, while they may kill them in this world, it doesn't prevent them from going to the world to come. And every one of those little 58 million aborted babies are going to reach full maturity in heaven and enjoy eternity. God help us to speak out. It's not nice if we do. It's our mandate. It's our responsibility. If we truly, truly believe that God is who he said he is, and we are who we say we are, his children. If you love the Lord, we're going to publish an open door to the church, and I ask you to commit to the battle by, first of all, becoming a baptized believer, letting the world know today whose side you're on through the waters of gospel baptism. You can do that. It's about commitment today. It is. Today is about commitment. If you hadn't committed publicly, come. Come and commit. The Lord did to you, Brother Jay.
Number 368.